Chapter 21 looks a little strange compared to the other 20 chapters of John. And some have said that, well, there's something different about it. Maybe somebody else wrote it maybe a couple of centuries after John. But there's nothing in the structure to suggest that. So we take it as John, written by John, and written for us. It has value, and it is in harmony with all the other books. So John began his book with a theological introduction. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's a very theological statement. And he went through all that to prove who this person is. And then he ends it in this chapter with a practical conclusion. And we need to hear this. We need to hear what John was written about. The first 20 chapters show how a person comes to Christ. The final chapter shows how, when a person has come to Christ, has received salvation, it tells how he serves him. And that's what we're going to see today in the next maybe a couple of times. We come to Christ and to hear what he has to say. See, an angel had promised the disciples, remember we're talking about the time Jesus has died, Jesus has risen, he has talked to the disciples, to many people, and an angel had said to them in Matthew 28:7, he said, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So this explains why they were in Galilee, their home, of course, but they were told to be there. Jesus is going to meet them there. So we find, though, as they meet together, that there was a rash decision, verses 1 to 3. Their position is in verse 1. He says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, that is, Sea of Galilee, and in this way, he showed himself. So according to Jesus' directions, the disciples were there back home in Galilee. They had been through many strange events. Just think about these disciples. I liken my generation to somebody who they've come out from writing on paper bags or whatever they could get. And to now, it's into the age where my head goes when I think about these things. Mel has really moved into it. She knows what she's doing, but she helps me, and I'm beyond hope. In any case, what I'm saying is that there's a big change from my generation to right now. Well, this is a big change for them too. At the end of Jesus' ministry, we had the triumphal entry. Wow, this is it. Everybody was rejoicing. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Isn't this wonderful? And that's a good time to be there. And then John the Baptist was preaching. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom is coming. The long-awaited kingdom from way back in at least David's time. Up until now, so that's 1,000 years, here they are looking for the kingdom. It's here. The kingdom of heaven's at hand. Wonderful. And then there was the betrayal. Fell off the edge. Judas betrayed Jesus. He was a trusted friend. And then the near address for these disciples. They were there with Jesus when Jesus was taken away. And he said to the soldiers, leave them alone. let them go their way. So they did. Then there was the denial of Jesus by their leader, Peter. He denied him. I will never deny you. He denied him. And what do you think the other disciples felt about that? He was definitely a leader, as we're going to see today. He's still leading. But he had denied the Lord whom he loved. And then the crucifixion of Jesus must have been, they weren't there up front, but they probably watched afar off. They knew what was going on. The Savior, the kingdom's gone. What about a kingdom? What about, he didn't do anything wrong. Why is he going? And then the resurrection. Wow. He arose. He's back. But all of this is strange. The kingdom now? No kingdom, not now. The manifestation of the risen Lord was helpful. In chapter 20, we saw it twice. He appeared to the disciples. Once Thomas was there, once he was not there. Now this is the third meeting with the disciples. It occurred between in the 32 days between Thomas' confession, that is the second appearance of Jesus, and he said, "Oh, my Lord and my God." From between that and the ascension, there were 32 days. It was sometime in that period that these things take place. Now, that's their position. They're there, home, in Galilee. Now, their association. Seven of the 11 disciples were together. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin Didymus, Nathan, he was of Cana of Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, James and John, and two others. They don't say who they are. And there's a lot of speculation. It doesn't matter. So they're all there, associated together. One common denominator for all of them, they knew Jesus. They loved Jesus. They believed in Jesus. So they were there for that one reason. But then came a suggestion, verse 3. Peter made a decision. Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." Now, it's not the way we do. You know, people had the boats and all that, go out and fish. This was, "I'm going fishing. I want to get some fish. I need the fish." So some people thought that he was saying, "I'm done with this. Where's Jesus? He's not here. I'm going back to my fishing days." Not true. He's not going back to anything permanently. There's nothing in the text that suggests that Peter had was going away from what Jesus had taught him. He had already seen Jesus three times. And you know that when he came to Jesus, he confessed. Confessed. What did Jesus do when he confessed it? "If we confess our sin, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Peter had confessed. He had been forgiven. Note also, when Jesus saw him, a little later on here, when he sees that he was jumping out of the boat. "Oh, I want to get up and see him." He was going to him, not away from him. So, all of that says to me that Peter is not leaving anything. Peter had a family, and he needed to feed them. He didn't know what was coming next, or when it would come. So he was going fishing. Now, what about the others? Well, the last part of verse 3 says, "They said to him, 'We're going with you also.' And they went out and immediately got into the boat, and that they might, and that night they caught nothing." the what catches me here is that they went and got in the boat. Didn't say a boat, not just a boat, but the boat. What the boat? Well, it's the boat that they had been using, I take it. They were back home, and they went to the boat they had been using for commercial fishing. And so they were there fishing in their own boat. Now, in spite of Peter's failure, he's apparently still the leader. You know, I'm going fishing. We're going with you. He's the leader. That's leadership. So Jesus was in the process here of teaching these people some things. They caught nothing. There's nothing there. Well, what is Jesus teaching here? Well, he was showing them that they are personally inadequate. You can't do it by yourself. Even in the work, they knew, they were fishermen. They knew how to fish. And they labored all night and caught not one thing. Sounds like me if I went fishing. So it was important that they catch this one thing. And the whole item here is about one thing, I believe. And that is, he's already told them, without me, you can do nothing. You hear that?
Yeah.
Thank you. Without me, you can do nothing. And that's what he's teaching them. I think they got the point. So there was a rash decision. But then there was also a ready director. The director's presence is in verse 4 and following. He prepared for them. Verses 4 to 6. But when the morning had now come, that is, they fished all night, nothing. And when morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And then Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any food?" Now, they didn't recognize him. Why do you suppose? Well, for one thing, they were 100 yards away. They were, it says, cubits. They were so many, they were 200 cubits away. How long is a cubit? Well, that's how long a cubit is. That's what they did. They measured with this. And that's foot and a half, you think? Yeah. So, there are two cubits in one yard. So, they were 100 yards away. Now, this, I've seen my mother measure things. We didn't have any measuring things, and not even a ruler until we started going to school. I'd see her doing this. She'd take a piece of cloth, hold it here, and she'd pull it out like this. And she'd hold it up here to her eye, and she'd pull it out. You know how long that is? That's a yard. That's 1 yard, 2 yards, 3 yards, so she got where she wanted to go. That's the way they measured. And they measured the same way. This was a cubit. Now, so there's no indication here that their eyes were restrained, but they were a long way away. 100 yards. Stand at the end, one end of a football field and try to identify somebody way down there. Not so. So that's why. Their eyes were not restrained as in Luke 24. So he said to them, children, boys, lads, as the British would say, boys, do you have any food? I don't know why they translated it that way. It really is translated this way. You don't have any food, do you? You see the difference? It expects a negative answer. No. Don't have any food. I don't want to put I don't want to put my mind into that, because if I had told people you'll be fishers of men. Come away, leave that. You're going to follow me, you'll become fishers of men. And they went out fishing. I would have said, you don't have any food, do you? Jesus didn't do it with that accent, no. No, he was just telling them, you don't have any fish, do you? In the very occupation you know best, the very thing you know best to do, you didn't do it. Why? Without me. You did it without me. I said, I'll meet you there in Galilee. I didn't say go fishing. So, but their answer, they didn't try to explain anything. No. That's it. I think it had to be that. No. Then he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. So they cast it. Now they were able to draw it in, not able to draw it in because of the multitude of the fish. This is similar to another time back in Luke 5 when he told them to put the net out. But we've been here all night. We struggle all night and we haven't caught anything. You don't know anything about fishing. We're the fishermen. It was implied in there. And so they did it there. It happened. And so this time they didn't argue. Okay, we'll do it your way. And they found the food. No. So he was prepared for them, ready for them to go. And then he was perceived by them. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved, who's that? John. He said to Peter, it's the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it to do the fishing, and he plunged into the sea. A couple of things. John was the one who was quick to decide what's going on. He had he could understand the situation just like that. So he said, hey, that's the Lord. But Peter was the one who was quick to do something in the situation. So John's saying, it's the Lord. Peter said, I'm getting out of here. that's the difference. It's like the tomb. We had them out at the tomb together, and John, Peter were there, and John he went into the edge, he saw what was in there. The Lord's gone. Peter said, boom, right on by him, went in there to find out what's going on. So, that's it. So here it was. John is picked it up already. That's the Lord. And Peter said, I'm getting out of here. I'm going up to see him. He was in a hurry to go there. Now, that was the director's presence. He was there. It's the Lord. And then the director's provision. Verse 8, he says, the Lord calls them. But the other disciple came into the little boat, for they were not far ahead, the other disciples. I take it that there was a smaller boat over there, and they got that boat and went out there to help with the larger boat. They were not far from the land, about 200 cubits, as we mentioned, 100 yards. And they were dragging the fish with them. Then, as soon as they had come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you've caught. I also hear there some that you've caught. I already got some. We're not told where he got them. I don't know. It doesn't matter. They were there. And that's enough. So Peter calls, Jesus calls them, Peter and the others, to bring their fish. I'll supply the things I can supply, but then you can't supply, and I'll let you get what you can do too. We don't sit around and say, oh Lord, bring some people in here. No. Lord, we've been looking here, working here 15 years. Where are the people? bring what you can, and I'll supply whatever's necessary. That's Jesus' information. So, Jesus, bring their fish. So Simon Peter went up, and he dragged to the net to the land, and full of large fish, 153 fish. And there were so many that the net was not broken. As in Luke 5, the net broke. Not here. So Jesus has fish ready, but he needs more because they have a larger group now. The number 153, don't make that something special. I read something, the guy said, 100 is for the Gentiles, and 50 is for the Jews, and 3 is for something else. I forget what it was now. Nonsense. It was 153 fish. That's it. They used to count the fish, and then they divide up between the ones who are in the boat. So that's all about it was recorded by a fisherman, John, and so he puts that in there. So the Lord calls them. The Lord draws them in 12a. Jesus said to them, come and dine. I like that better than come eat breakfast. I don't think he said that. Come and dine. Come eat. KJV. King James Version. Come and dine. I looked for that hymn in books here in my office at home. I didn't get around to that there. But I can't find that book, the hymn. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. You know that one, friend? You? That's a good hymn. I couldn't find it. Anyway, that's what Jesus said. Come and dine. It was morning, so come eat breakfast, come eat. That makes sense. But the two words, come, eat, that's it. So he calls them, he draws them with the food, and then, forgive me this one, he awes them, calls, draws, awes. He awes them. Now, what do I mean? Well, verse 12b, yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you, knowing that it was the Lord. Now, I have a little problem with that. Nobody asked him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord, so why would they ask? See, they're not sure what to expect from Jesus. They had met him, remember? They met him, they followed him. They knew him as a man. And that was what they knew. He's a man. He's a special man. God-man, but he's man. And he showed himself to be very human to them. But now, they got used to that. And then they saw Jesus could do anything. But then, something jumps in and changes their perception. Because when they come to arrest him, why doesn't he fight them? He just go like that and they're gone. He didn't do that. He was arrested. He was beaten. He was vilified. And didn't defend himself. So that's kind of a change here. So if they had a question, they wouldn't know how to ask it. Because now they're seeing him as God. And God is coming out more than the man part. So Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. No, this is not communion. It was any more than it was in Luke 24. They knew him, so he was known by them in the breaking of the bread. He gave them food, and here the same thing. Gave them food, and they then were happy to be there with him, is all. He was giving them food. See, Jesus, again, was serving. He served them. I think of John 13. He washed their feet. So he was serving them again. Now, then verse 14 says, now this is the third time Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. and the two other times we mentioned with Thomas, without Thomas. Now, Jesus told disciples, meet me in Galilee. They met him. Why? What's this all about? Why is it even recorded here? Well, what does a Christian do? Remember chapter 21, what the Christian does after he met Jesus, after he knows Jesus as his Savior. He remembers his call. He said to them, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. They're out there still fishing for fish. I'll make you fishers of men. He emulates his Lord. He gives himself over to service of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, Paul says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Do you know that is the most important aspect of being a servant? Being faithful to the Lord. Every time, all the time. And he serves others, as his master does. He serves others. And above it all, he remembers this. Without me, you can do nothing. With me, you can do all things. As Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If we go out with nothing more than that, without Christ, you can do nothing. With Christ, you can do all things. There'll be more. But for now, that's our message. That's the message that Jesus gives us. Let's go from here with that. I can do all things through Christ. But without him, I'm done.